Amazing testimony. Amen. Hallelujah. Open up your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. In the name of Jesus, we come to you tonight. We ask that you would help us. Father, be with us as we desperately need you tonight. I pray you anoint, God, every word that is spoken tonight, Father, not by my abilities, my talents, or my skills, God, but my dependency is upon you tonight. We thank and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. There was a football player, amen, that was in the University of Mississippi as a freshman. He, amen, stood out. Imagine your very first game. He rushed for over 200 yards in one of his first games there, amen, in the university. He rushed for over 200 yards and became known by many people there in the sports world. He left school, and as he left school, he left it early to, amen, turn pro. People thought that he was going to be the next big star. They thought that he was going to be the next, amen, man. They thought that he was going to be great. He had a lot of things going for him. He gets to the pros. In one of his first, amen, in one of the first parts, amen, of his pro career, he gets injured. He hurts his knees. And as he hurt his knees, amen, how many know that as a running back, if you hurt your legs, amen, you're probably going to fade out into the Wild West. Well, that's what happened to this young man. Very early in his career, amen, he got injured. And as he injured his knees, amen, he faded away. He had a great start, folks, but did not finish well. How many know that that can be part, amen, that can be also said in many of people in the kingdom of God? They have a great start. They can be the next, and you can put any name that you can, amen, think of. They can be the next so-and-so, and then by the time you know it, amen, something rocks their lives, and they fade away. See, Paul, here in our text, he is writing to a church that he planted and loved. This church, amen, did just like the football player, amen, some 1900 plus years. The church, amen, started well. The church in Ephesus was a lot like, amen, some churches today. They had seen a great growth. God was in the process of maturing, amen, so that they could become, amen, more productive and effective for the kingdom of God. Firstly, tonight, the beginning. In Acts chapter 19, we see Paul, the apostle Paul. He finds 12 disciples. They are the disciples of John the Baptist. He led them, to Jesus, and with them, he started a church. He preached in the synagogues there of the city for 3 months. Then he moved the church to a school, amen, for nearly 2 years. God did some great miracles, signs, and wonders there, amen, in the city. In verse 16, there was the sons of Ziba. How many have ever heard about the sons of Ziba? They're there. What they see Paul doing, they think that they can go out and do. Amen. And as they came, they said in the authority of Paul, the demon says, "Who are you?" Amen. They came up and said, amen. How many know that Paul never did anything upon his own authority? Paul did it in the authority of the one that can give you the authority, and that was Jesus. They come, amen. And as they go, imagine the scene, folks. How many know that this would probably birth a great revival? Amen. Either that will scare your wits out. They're there, amen. These young folks, they're coming out. The demons trample them. They take, and they beat them so bad that they ran out naked. They're running through the streets. There's things that are going on. They didn't recognize them as having the authority, and they beat them. Can I tell you, the demons know if you have the goods. The whole city, folks, the whole city got scared. And because of what happened, it caused the name of Jesus to be, amen, magnified, exalted even more. This caused a great revival there in the city of Ephesus. People started confessing. They started burning. Listen to me. They started burning, amen, magical, amen, witchcraft, divination. They cut out. They broke the idols that were there. Amen. Everything was going great. But what it did was it caused the people that, can I tell you, the idolatry business is only but a money-making machine. We're in Thailand. We're there. Can I tell you, folks? Buddhists don't believe in heaven or hell. But can I tell you what they do believe in? They believe in moolah. Amen. So what they had there, we went there. Amen. The pastor took us. He said, "Do you want to go see the real life heaven and hell?" I said, my pastor was there. He said, "Let's go." In one of the temples that are there, amen, it was the depiction of, amen, hell. Everything was dark. There was people, their faces were all distorted. And then we go into the next room. And as we enter into the next room, folks, we're there. The place is filled with gold. People are smiling. People are happy. That was the first, room was a picture of hell. The second was a picture, amen, of heaven. Listen to me, amen. This is what was going on there in, Ephesus. Because people were tearing down the idols, because they were breaking them, because books were being torn, all these things, it caused the people that were there,
making money off of the idolatry and everything that was sold. It caused them, amen, to riot. Paul told the leaders there in the church to prepare themselves, to be on guard. In the book of Ephesus, there are six in the book of Ephesus, there are six chapters. The first three, chapters 1-3, Paul teaches about the basic theology that you and I are saved by grace. What Christ did for you and I. In chapters 4-6, Paul, he begins to write about practical matters. He talks about, how you and I are to be united. He talks about spiritual gifts. He talks about you and I being new creations in Christ. He talks about walking in love, being the light. He talks about marriage and family. He talks about relationships. He talks about being on guard from the attacks of the enemy. He says, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, folks, but this is a spiritual war. Forty to 50 years go by, folks. We're talking 40 to 50 years. I made mention about the Chandler Church that next year they are going to celebrate their 50-year, there in Chandler. Well, listen to what the church in Ephesus, 40 to 50 years after the inception. Revelations 2, 1-7. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. Listen to what he says about this church, folks. He says, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. How many know that you would be excited about going to church there in that church? But listen to verse 3. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my namesake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, can I tell you, whenever the word of God says, but or nevertheless, something different is going to go on. Nevertheless, I have this against you. So what would God have, what would Jesus have against this powerful working church? He says, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So here it is. They worked hard. They couldn't stand evil. They knew if you were right, if you were, right or wrong. They persevered for the name of Jesus Christ. But the one problem, can I tell you? One problem could disqualify you and I from the kingdom of God. They had left their first love. They had forgotten the main thing. Can I tell you, if you and I forget the main thing, then we are not going to be able to proceed forward. They lost it. Because all these attributes were there, they let the attributes now dictate their identity. And they lost focus on the one who was to be the centerpiece of their lives. We're still fighting evil. Check. We're still doing this. Check. Oh, by the way, where's Jesus? We forgot him. We've left him. He's no longer there. See, they had forgotten what got them, to where they were in such a short amount of time. Can I tell you, it doesn't take a lot for our pride to kick in and say, this is what I have done. This is where I have gotten myself into. This is what I, and when it is all about you and I, and we forget about the Lord says, you must repent. They did not repent. Because of that, Jesus said, I'm going to turn off the lights. Can I tell you? If, the Colorado utility turns off the lights, we can pay the money. And you and I can get the lights turned back on. If Jesus turns off the lights, the party's over. Party's over, folks. There's no more. Today, there's no more emphasis. There's no more church because the church never repented. It did not respond to the call of God for their lives. Amen. Can that be a picture of you and I today? If you and I are not careful, if you and I are not steadfast, if we don't remember what brought us to where we are, that can be a picture of us today. Secondly, what can you and I learn? See, God can use small beginnings. We think that we have to be a certain size. Pastor, before we do anything, we have to be able to do this. We have to do that. Pastor, we have to get a certain, quote, number. God took 12 converts. He took a pastor that was full of the Holy Ghost. He took, 12 converts that were there, that needed direction, and it shook a city and turned a city upside down. So many times, can I tell you, we can be a small church but not have a small church mentality. Amen. We can be, a smaller church. You know, a lot of people, they come and they say, how big is your church? I tell them, we're about this. Oh, I like small churches. But can I tell you, we might be a small church in number, but our mentality is not, small. We cannot have a small mentality, folks, because a small mentality says, I'm satisfied with where I am. I'm satisfied with what we are. I'm satisfied with what God is doing. And I cannot, I want to stay small. We can make a difference. We can shake Colorado Springs. We could shake our communities. We could shake our schools. We could shake our workplaces. We don't have the quote unquote big numbers. But can I tell you, I refuse to have a small church mentality. All the Ephesians church had was a few people. They had people that were sold out for God. Can I tell you? One man, one woman that is sold out for God can change a community. A church that is there to follow the Lord will cause their communities to change, folks. The church began to grow. The communities began to react. People began to be confronted with the truth. Can I tell you, when you and I come to an encounter with Jesus, he makes us react. Can I tell you, you can, and I've said this before, you can, Jesus accepts you for who you are. But you know one thing, folks? He doesn't let you stay the way you are. He begins to change you. Everything came up. See, Paul had told them, be on guard. The church was attacked. Paul had warned them, that these attacks would come. He told them to stand firm. See, the devil, is never going to be happy with a church that is doing the will of God for their lives. Can I tell you, folks? The devil doesn't care that we have, services. He doesn't care that we have 3 services a week. When he cares? When you become radical for God. Oh, it was good when they went to church, but now they're doing something for him. See, he hates him. And because he hates him, Jesus, he hates you because you are doing what he wants you to do. So when you are just here in the church and all you're doing is you're just sitting down but not doing nothing, he doesn't care. He can care less. But it's when you now begin to get involved. It's now when you begin to now allow Jesus to work out the you out of you and input him into you. That he says, whoa, slow down. Now you're going too far. See, he doesn't care if you come to church. What he does care about is when you begin to now get active in the local church. Paul told them, you got to be on guard. The people began to, do different things. The devil began his attack. Can I tell you something, folks? The devil will find the weakness in your armor. Let me say it again. The devil will find the weak point of your armor. And guess where those fiery darts are going to go? To your weakness. The devil, so desperately wants to get into not only your life, but he wants to be able, to infiltrate the church. You and I tonight, we must stand firm. We must stand united. We must stand together. And we must resist together. A threefold cord will not break. Can I tell you, when you and I are together, we will be able to assist and resist the things of, the enemy. How many know, that in each and every one of us, there is some type of weakness? But can I tell you, if we stand together, we are there to be able to, as we pray together and we cry out to God, we're there to fortify the weaknesses of our lives so we can stand strong. See, one state out of the 50 cannot fight a war by itself. But together, the 50 states, amen, are a powerful, amen, move of God. Are a powerful, amen, force. I wonder what can happen if all of us stay together and not just want to succeed into our own place. I want to be my own place. I want to be my own place. And here it is. Imagine if we had 50 their own places. How much would you and I be attacked? But you know what? What scares the ibbie-jibbies out of people trying to attack the U.S.? That we stand together. Amen? And because we stand together, they dare not attack. See, we must be there to cover each other's weakness. We need to apply the Word of God. The Word of God is a two-edged sword. In the Word of God, you and I are going to be able to find the purpose that God has for our lives. Can I tell you? You're not going to be able to find the purpose that God has for your life in TikTok. Amen? I'm sorry. Your gram, his gram, Instagram, you're not going to be able to find, amen, the purpose that God has for your life if you spend, amen, the majority of your time on your book, Facebook, like the Puerto Rican, Facebook. You're not going to be able, folks. What does God have? Let me see what Google says. It's not going to work, folks. You're going to have to get into the best-selling book of all time for you to be able to know what God has for your life. You know, I asked Alexa one time. I said, Alexa, what does God want for my life? I can't answer that. Amen? You want to find out what God has for your life? It's only the best ever selling book of all time. It's not there to collect dust. It's not there to be a... So when people come over your house, oh, you got a Bible. It's not there just to hold a place. It's there to be open and read. To find out what God has for your life, you have to apply the Word of God to you. That Word will change your life. You want to know why Paul was able to use 12 people? Because Paul preached the Word of God. See, if what we are learning is not changing our lives, then what is it doing? Christianity is not just some type of doctrine. It's a life. It's a life. God's Word is God's Word. Changing you. Is it changing you? Is it moving you? Is it changing you? I don't know if I mentioned it this morning, but when I was coming, I listened to Christian radio, and it said that God changes the way you talk. Is that amazing? That you don't talk the way you used to before? Amen? That you don't walk the way these feet only knew, amen, a liquor store. Porno shop. this shop, listen to this and that. I don't walk the way I walk anymore, folks. Amen. Now, it takes me to the things of God. It takes me to the people of God. It takes me to the place of God. Listen, I don't talk the way I used to. I don't walk the way I used to. Amen. My life changed. Is God, amen, changing the way that you do things today? See, you and I, we have to be doers of the things of God, not just hearers. Can I tell you, there's people all over the world. They hear the word of God, but don't do it. There needs to be a balance, folks. In Revelation, it tells us that they had all things going good for them, but they did it out of mechanics now and not out of love. Can I tell you, if you and I do it out of mechanics, every mechanical, amen, machine breaks down. It breaks down. If we just do it out of mechanics, we will break down. We have to do it with love. It was more than rules, regulations, rather than the love and care for others. And as we come to a close, just because somebody doesn't agree with you, it doesn't mean that they don't care about you. There's a lot of people that I can see and I can say that I don't agree with them, but I still care for them. Can I tell you why I care for you? Because Jesus cared for a broken young man that was on his way to a devil's hell, that didn't care about nothing, not even himself. So if I didn't care about myself, how was I going to care for you? But Jesus changed my life. And can I tell you, that same Jesus that changed my life, he can change yours also. Will you allow him a right to help you? If you do it, your life will change. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed. Amen. You're here in this place. You're not saved. You're here in this place. You're not right with God. Jesus loves you and he cares about you. He has a great purpose for your life. You're here in this place and you're not saved. You can be in this place tonight and not be right with God, folks. You can be in the house of God and not be saved. Would you surrender your life? Would you surrender your life? Tú puedes estar aquí en esta noche y no estar bien con Dios. Rinde tu vida en esta noche. Let Jesus have an opportunity. Hay que dejar que Jesús tenga una oportunidad. You're tired of the way things are going in your life. Estás cansado de cómo las cosas están pasando en tu vida. And you want to give Jesus an opportunity. Le quieres dar a Jesús una oportunidad. Is that you tonight? Eres tú en esta noche. Simply do one thing. Simple as una cosa. Lift up your hand. Levanta la mano. Lift it up quickly. Lift it up. Levanta la mano. Rápido. I want to invite Jesus into my life. I'm not saved. Quiero invitar a Cristo en mi vida. No estoy salvo. I want to give Jesus an opportunity. Touch my life, Lord. Maybe you're backslidden. Quizás estás apartado. Estás alejado.
Things began to rock your life. Cosas vinieron contra tu vida. And those things overcame you. Y esas cosas te cambiaron tu vida. And tonight you're away from God. Y en esta noche estás apartado de Dios. But you want to come back. Pero quieres regresar quickly. You're backslidden in this place. You're not right. No estás bien con Dios. Would you lift it up? Would you simply give Jesus an opportunity? God sees that hand. Anybody else tonight? You want to give Jesus an opportunity, folks. Le quieres dar la oportunidad al Señor en esta noche. Simplemente levanta la mano. You want to give Jesus an opportunity. Le quieres dar la oportunidad a Cristo otra vez en tu vida. You're backslidden away from God. You've never given your life to Jesus. You want to give Jesus an opportunity tonight. Le quieres dejar a Jesucristo que entre a tu vida en esta noche. Levanta la mano. Amen. Hallelujah. If you lifted up your hands, would you look at me? Would you come? I want to pray with you.